This is the Totally Ice Hockey Show. Direct from the action in Finland, we're bringing you all the news, insights, reactions, insider tips, and much, much more from the IIHF World Championship. The best 30 minutes of your day start now.
Archer Seelovs, for the second time in this World Championship, comes in to replace Elvis Merzlikens. Seelov shuts the door, and Latvia comes back, courtesy of the power play, to win this game.
Shutting the door after a great Great Britain start yesterday against the Latvians. What a heartbreaker for Team Britain in this game.
Oh, yeah, they were not happy about that one. Neither was I, but I also like Latvia. I like both teams. I like them all. But I'm cheering for everyone. I just want
like
to have
Jackie
fun.
Moon. Everybody loves everybody. Yeah.
But, yeah, they had a two-goal lead twice, and they still ended up losing. So it was definitely frustrating for them, I'm sure. And, you know, it's always like the worst lead in hockey. I think, Mike, you've definitely lost some two-goal games just like I have, and it was not fun to watch because you come out with all this energy and you're ready and willing, and then all of a sudden you just lose it in like the very few last minutes, and that's what happened.
I don't quite understand why a two-goal lead is the worst lead in hockey. Wouldn't two goals be better than one? Like, I'd rather have a two-goal lead than one. I'm just saying, mathematical sense whatsoever, but we'll get to that on a different day. But you know what you need to do, though? If you're trying to win a game and you're up early, stay out of the penalty box. Give yourself a chance to win a game 5-on-5. Give your goaltender a chance to make saves 5-on-5. And that's what Great Britain did not do. Too many penalties, 4-on-3s, giving Latvia's best players touches and confidence, and it eventually came back to get them.
Yeah, and they had to replace Elvis, too, with Seelovs. But Seelovs has been playing unreal, so maybe he's got the starting position if they move on to the quarters as well.
No way.
For Elvis, have you seen how Seelovs has been playing?
I have. Okay. When he goes in there and the game is already lopsided, score effects take place and the other team doesn't get any chances. Yeah, I have seen how he plays.
All right.
I beg to differ.
Well, let's get back to Great Britain because they obviously played better yesterday than we have seen them in previous games because they weren't able to score a goal in three games before facing the Latvians yesterday. So what kind of confidence boost do they get from a game like this, even though they finished it with a loss?
When you don't score goals, it's so frustrating, especially as a hockey player, when your team's not doing the way that you want them to do. And for them to get those 3 points or those three goals yesterday, it was a pretty big deal for them because they have some big games coming up. And if they don't win these games, if they don't score in those games, then it's going to be they're done. It's going to be that's all she wrote, I guess, for this year. So I think it's going to boost their confidence quite a bit.
And Lewis Hook spoke about it after the game that they need to play like they played in certain minutes of yesterday's game today in order to survive in the World Championship.
Yeah, well, I think we played a good game. I think, you know, for the most part we did. And then it was, like I said, it was just penalty trouble. So we've got to go into tomorrow with full of confidence. You know, we played well today. And I think if we match that tomorrow, I think we should get the result.
Good teams find a way to win. That's what I always say.
And but isn't the flip side true? Like, bad teams find a way to lose. You know, it works both ways, right? Like they said, don't win. They also don't have the confidence and they make the wrong plays, the wrong decisions, or take the wrong penalty. And the margins are so fine, as we've seen in this tournament. But I do think scoring some goals for Great Britain is big going forward because it gives you a sense, like a reason to believe. If you never score, it doesn't really matter what you do. You never really think you're going to win because, like, whatever, we're playing well, but we're just grinding for zeros. So I think that will serve them well going to their last game.
And speaking of scoring some goals for Great Britain, Reagan, your moment of the day is one of those goals from yesterday.
Aiden Nielsen, one of my favorites from Great Britain. He got his first goal, which was awesome to see. I think he got an assist as well. And he was ecstatic because it went under review and then they were all waiting at the bench. So they got a celebration to start and then they waited for a little bit and then they got another celebration. And everyone was giving him hugs and they were all really happy for him. So it was super sweet.
Well, I think the kid deserves some chocolate chip pancakes, don't you think?
Yes, he does. Maybe he'll come make them with me.
We'll have to wait and see about that, if we'll be able to make those chocolate chip pancakes together. Obviously, we're waiting for Mike. We're not doing it without you. Don't worry. We're waiting for you to get over to Tampere for that. Mike, hit us with your moment of the day yesterday. Quite an interesting
one.
Okay,
my moment of the day is a little bit funnier. So, well, first of all, it was in the French-Swiss game. France jumps out to a shocking 2-0 lead, totally carrying the play. Switzerland has got their head in the Canada clouds, reveling in the victory from the day before, just not focused at all. Up 2-0, Kevin Bozant draws a penalty shot. Legit, he's in alone. He gets hooked on the breakaway, doesn't get a shot off. So, Reagan, who gets to take the penalty shot when you get hooked like that? Kevin Bozant, right? Like, of course, you earned it. You get it. But in international rules, anybody can take it. So, coach Philippe Bozant, yes, same name, dad, elects Alexandre Texier to take it, and he missed. And I'm like, hang on, it's 2-0. And for the French, the result did not matter. They can't get to the quarterfinals. They cannot get How do you take a penalty shot away from your kid who earned it? Like, I want to know what's going to happen next time they sit down for dinner. Like, pops, what's up with this? You can't be doing that to me and giving it to Tex because I earned it. I should have had it. So just a little funny dynamic there when dads are coaching kids, and I understand the decision. I'm just having a little fun with it. But if I was Kevin Bozant, I would have gone to center and stood there and said, too bad. Too bad. I don't care what else you do. I'm taking it. I'm here. I'm going.
Well, Kevin is not the only son on the team. Yep. There is another one. And as the tournament progressed, we sat down with Coach Dad, and he spoke about having his sons on the team and how he has to make sure that he doesn't play favorites. Listen to what he has to say.
His performance on the ice put him on the team. I mean, he went to the preparation and he compete every game to try to fight for a spot. And I tried to step back a little bit on the decision, and where my assistant told me, you know, you have to take him. It's no discussion about Kevin. So I went on. So Kevin did his job to be on the team, and that's important for me. Try to be fair with every players, and like they have to, even if it's my son, to deserve to be on the team.
Well, he deserves to be on the team, but he deserves the shot. I mean, like what are we fighting for? I mean, it's 2-0. It doesn't matter if you win or lose. I know you want to win, but no, it's no guarantee that Texier scores. Come on, Reagan. You got to put let your kid take the penalty shot he deserves.
Yeah, I would be a little upset too. So if my dad did something from then on out, I would just bring that up. Like, you did this to me. Now just relax.
I mean, but how hard is it to be a father and be a coach at the same time and to find that balance of making sure that no one feels as if you're favoriting your sons? Obviously, it's not what we saw yesterday, but in general, how tough must that be?
I think it's quite common that parents coach their kids. And I think it's probably more often the other way, where the parent is harder on their kid to make sure that they're not softer on their kid, right? They demand more. They're more verbal in their criticism because they want everyone else to know I'm not playing favorites. I'm actually, look how hard I am in my own child. I know it's not the world championships, but like, I've coached my girls playing soccer growing up, and I was like, yes, it's instinctively you are harder and demand more of your own kids. So, and generally speaking, a lot of times the coach's sons are some of the better players. So like, I don't think Heinz Ehlers is having a hard time with Nick Ehlers when what he does out there. So, and hockey is good at separating those family moments versus the hockey moments. And so I don't think it's an issue at all, except when you don't let them take penalty shots.
Mike, I would love to see you as a soccer dad.
Listen.
On the sidelines. I want to see you as a soccer dad on the sidelines.
I was a good coach. My teams won a lot. I never told them not to score. My whole message was, you know, when like little kids, like 10-year-olds, and one team's winning by a lot, and I'm like, listen, don't ever not score. Like, you don't have to like celebrate wildly when you do. No mercy rule. No, like, you're out there, like, play properly. Don't goal suck out there trying to score goals, but pass the ball a lot. And if you have a chance to score, score. Don't apologize for it. Just be nice after the game.
Yeah. I know a coach that did that, and I was on the other end of it. We lost, I think it was 21-1.
It happens.
Okay. Granted, I was like 5 years old, but still,
Well, from 21-1, let's get back to games that we saw here that weren't, they weren't 21-1, but we did see Germany eventually beat Kazakhstan after Kazakhstan came out strong against them and maybe shocked them a bit, Mike.
They did. Again, same thing. I think Germany was looking forward to their last game against Switzerland. Like, they just weren't focused. They elected to sit their first two goalies. They played Solmeier, their third goaltender, who struggled in the first period, understandably hasn't played a game in a few weeks. And, you know, he gets a couple good chances against. They get past him. But Germany eventually kind of righted the ship and figured it out and got by just enough, as Kazakhstan all of a sudden is now scoring goals and keeping things interesting. So, another one of those games where the underdog had a chance. And the difference, I think, this year and last year for Kazakhstan, because Kazakhstan ended up tied with Canada in the round robin for points last year. They only didn't get through to the quarters, and Canada did on the head-to-head, is that Shutov, the goaltender for Kazakhstan, he just hasn't been able to find that save. When they need that save to sustain momentum or keep the lead, it just has kind of found a way to get through him. So that was the story again, as both goaltenders struggled early, and Germany eventually figured it out and finally got through.
Curtis Vach did speak after the game. He talked about the progress that the team made going in to the last game that they have today in order to avoid relegation. Listen to what he has to say.
I think it just comes down to certain moments in the game. We haven't put together, you know, a full 60 minutes yet, and that's what's killing us. We're playing good hockey teams, and we can't, you know, let our guard down for a little bit. You know, we're going to have to find a way in this last game here. It's a very big game for us, obviously.
What do they have to do to put together a full 60 minutes against Italy?
Well, I think those high leverage moments in a game, right? So, Reagan, coaches talk to us all the time. First shift of a period, last shift of a period, after a goal scored for or against, like, you got to be dialed into your discipline, to your assignments, and know that those moments are good. And also, you need your goaltender to make saves. Like, you know, Volk is correct. Like, they haven't quite strung it together perfectly, but you're going to have breakdowns. It's inevitable, no matter how good you are. And you need your goaltender to make those saves. And if they do that, they're the better team than Italy. They skate and play better than Italy, but Italy has a better goaltender. So there's your toss-up as they head into the last game. But I think they should feel generally good about the progress they have made in creating offense more consistently.
Mike, do you think there's a difference in the compete that Kazakhstan brings versus Italy?
No, I think that's a crutch. Like, compete. Of course, it's the World Championships. Who's not trying? Who's not doing their very best? You know, like, the compete may manifest itself differently. Like, Kazakhstan may be more physical because that's how they play, but Italy is certainly trying their hardest to play the way that they want. I think it's about execution. It's about talent. And it's about goaltending. And I think that's what it's going to come down to. But I think both countries, like, this is such a big game. Like, it is like a different world you live in when you're in the top group and when you get relegated. And both countries want to live in the penthouse. They don't want to slide down to the outhouse. Like, they want to be treated well next year. So it's such a huge game. It's not about effort or compete or care, any of that stuff. It's just about execution, talent, and goaltending. So I don't think they play differently, but they both play as hard as they can.
And we're going to take this moment to welcome Adam Huska to the show. Team Slovakia getting 2 days off before they go into their last game of this round robin. Adam, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me.
Well, first of all, you're playing in your second World Championship now. Is this experience different from the one that you had last year?
It is, of course, because last year there were no fans at all, and this year a lot of Slovakian fans show up, and it's amazing atmosphere during our games, and I really like it.
It's got to be great having their backing at such a stage like this.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely need them in those games. Like, they always pushing us forward, and can imagine play against again without fans.
Well, did you learn anything from your experience last year that you're able to use this time around?
Oh yeah. Basically, last year was my first year, so I was like learning and getting new experience. And this year I knew how it's going to be and all this stuff. So it's definitely helped me that I was there last year.
You've been playing really well these past few games. What's it like being able to perform like this on such a big stage?
Well, I just want to play my best and just go game by game. Don't really focus on future or live in the past. Just trying to stay in present and focus on next save.
Do you have any tips that you can share for staying focused and staying calm under pressure?
Not really. Just like I said, trying to stay in present and always tell myself that everything is good and that I just need to believe myself and my skills.
What's been your favorite memory playing hockey?
Like my favorite memory? I don't know. It's so many. I don't know. Stuff to choose, but probably when I got drafted, that was probably like the most exciting news I got, and it was great.
And what's your favorite part about representing your country?
That I can represent the country, and then all my friends can watch me, and it's like we are all one team, like all the fans and everyone, and we trying to do the best. And seeing my old friends, and because they all play in different clubs and teams, and now basically coming back here and play all together, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's got to be a treat being able to play with them when you can. You have some really talented players, especially the younger guys on the team who we've seen shining these past couple days. What's it like having them on your team?
It's great because those guys are really nice, and they just like they're really happy to be here, and they do their best they can, and we're trying to support them and show them that even if they didn't make any mistakes or anything, it's okay, and they're still really young and they're just learning. So I mean, just support them, like trying to be a good teammate.
Oh, that's great. Adam, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
So we already talked about one relegation game, the Kazakhstan-Italy. We have another relegation game between Austria and Great Britain over here in Tampere. It is going to be an exciting one, especially after we saw Great Britain playing better than they had in previous games yesterday, maybe coming into this game with a little bit more confidence, Reagan?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Great Britain was able to score. That's what they needed. But I think what it comes down to is how well they can move the puck and get to the net. And I've seen with Austria, they really come out hard. And if they can sustain that over three periods, I think it's going to be Austria that takes the cake. But if Great Britain can win this, that means that they're tied with Austria, and then it goes head to head. And that means Great Britain would be able to stay in. So relegations are at stake right now, and they need to show up and play the all three periods.
What's interesting is that it feels like Austria's had a good tournament, doesn't it? Like, it feels like they've played well. They've got some results. They got 4 points, and yet they're still stuck in a game where if they lose in regulation, they get relegated. Mm-hmm. It's not that it's unfair, but they're not getting rewarded, and Great Britain has a great opportunity for a country that hasn't produced a lot of results in this tournament to have one game, one moment, one standout goaltending performance, and they stay up. So it's a lot of pressure on Austria, who should be the favorite, given how they played in this tournament. Because if they don't have a good day for whatever reason, they're going down.
Yeah.
What is the most important thing that they have to do against this Great Britain thing in order to make sure that they're not relegated today?
I just can't take it lightly. I think patience. Like, focus and patience. Like, Reagan, take it lightly. They're playing to not be relegated.
I wasn't even done talking, Mike. You just like to talk a lot.
Reagan, what do they need to do besides not take it lightly?
I think the biggest thing is once they get their first goal, they need to stay in the moment. I think that they get so caught up in what's already happened that they're not focused on what they still need to keep doing. And so they'll say that they are going to move the puck. They say that they're going to move their feet. They say they're going to get to the net. And then once it comes and the other team gets a goal, it's like they break down. And maybe not so much like a huge breakdown, but it's like the little differences where they're not picking up sticks in front of their net. They're not back checking as hard as possible to like pick up that player and be in between the two. And I think still getting to the net, Ben Bounce has been playing pretty well, but he's facing so many more shots than the other teams. And so if they don't get pucks on net, it's going to be a long day.
I like that answer. I like that answer, Reagan. I appreciate that one.
Better than take it lightly.
Better than take it lightly or try hard. I don't like those answers.
Well, obviously Austria promoted to the tournament this year. They came out and surprised Czechia in a game that we were so excited to watch. And they're not the first team to be promoted to the World Championship, come out and make some noise. And to talk about these teams that were promoted and surprised fans and some of the big clubs, we are joined by Lucas Aykroyd of IIHF.com. Lucas, great to have you on.
Thank you for having me today, Mirav.
Now, Lucas, there are always question marks around countries who are promoted, how well they can do in the VM. We're going to take a walk down memory lane together and take a look at the teams that not only made their way back to the Worlds, but hung around. And you want to start with one team that is once again making a comeback and let's say would be happy to see history repeat itself.
Mais oui, bien sûr, Mirav. I am, of course, talking about France. Go back to 2008. The French came back to the top division in, appropriately, Quebec City during the city's 400th anniversary, which also happened to be the IIHF's 100th anniversary. And they managed to stay in the top division under coach Dave Henderson right through 2018. And they weren't just showing up. Let's not kid ourselves. They actually achieved some monumental upsets over powerhouses like Russia and Canada. And I'm not kidding about monumental. Like 2013, goalie Florian Hardy made 28 saves against the Russians. France wins 2-1. And, you know, that really kind of sunk Russia's ship a bit. They were the defending champs. Losing to France ended a 13-game winning streak.
Not a loss they were expecting.
No, not a loss they were expecting at all. And, yeah, Russia ended up not winning the 2013 Worlds or the 2014 Sochi Olympics. So France really having an impact there. The following year, 2014, the big names for France came through in a 3-2 shocker over Canada on day one. You had Pierre-Édouard Bellemare, who got the shootout winner. And the French, nobody saw them making the quarterfinals, but they did. Antoine Roussel even made the All-Star team, 11 points in 8 games, which is a little bit of a surprise for people who think of him as an NHL agitator.
Next up is a team that's been having a good run so far here in Finland, Germany. And I'd say they were very lucky that they were the hosts in 2010.
They sure were. I mean, they were not doing so well in 2009. The tournament that year was hosted by arch rival Switzerland, and they finished 15th. That normally means you get relegated, right? But lucky for them, they were hosting the 2010 in Cologne and Mannheim, so they got a free pass. They got the stay, and they really took advantage on home ice. They stepped up under head coach Uwe Krupp. They finished 4th, and it was one of the best attended tournaments in IIHF history. I mean, that year, goalie Dennis Endres was named tournament MVP, just magical. Christian Ehrhoff, longtime NHLer, he skated miles. He ended up joining Endres on the tournament all-star team. And again, up against the Russians, Russia brought 14 returning Olympians from the Vancouver Winter Games, and Germany gave them a hell of a scare in the quarterfinals. In fact, it took a great goal by Pavel Datsyuk to win it with under 2 minutes left. Then Germany, you know, they came close in the bronze medal game that year, losing 3-1 to Sweden, but it wasn't like that was a one-off. They have continued to find success with the silver medal at the 2018 Olympics in Korea, and then, of course, last year's 4th-place World Championship finish in Riga.
Last but not least, a team that others should aim to be like, because we've seen them really take their program to the next level these past few years. They even appeared in their first Olympics this year, and that's Denmark.
Well, talk about being patient. a little bit of history here. The Danes were relegated in 1949 after finishing 10th and last in their world championship debut. And that included a humiliating 47-0 loss to Canada. Denmark finally got back to the top division in 2003, long awaited. And they made a mark right away. They pulled off some nice surprises, like a 5-2 opening win over the Americans and a 2-2 tie with Canada. And ever since then, Denmark has never been relegated.
Lucas Aykroyd, thank you for joining us for this walk down memory lane.
Thank you so much.
So obviously we have two more games today that could have impact on the standings. Obviously they're not as big as the relegation games that we already discussed, but Canada-Denmark over in Helsinki might get us started with this game.
Well, I think Canada wants to respond after losing to Switzerland. Like I don't, Canada's game has kind of deteriorated as this tournament has gone along. They've gotten a little bit less organized.
The opposite of last year.
Yeah, it's in a scary way. Yeah, like they look less organized defensively, and I think that's where their focus will be. For Denmark, they know they play Slovakia tomorrow. Regardless of the result of this one, I'm curious whether they play Sebastian Dom, who has been awesome in net for Denmark. But do you play him today, Reagan? Or do you rest him for tomorrow's game against Slovakia? I don't know. There's no travel. He plays a lot. It's not that busy of a time. I guess you would talk to him. But like my inclination might be to not play him today so that he is fully rested for tomorrow.
But do you think that, I mean, for me personally as a player, if I were to get sat and not play at all, I would not be as ready for the next game. Do you think that that would be tougher for a goalie, or is that better for goalies?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a goalie, so I don't quite understand how their bodies feel after games, thank God. But I think the science has shown goaltenders play better with days rest. So when you play your guy back-to-back, they're less successful. So, but that involves usually travel and some other circumstances. So it's not an easy question. But if he goes in there against Canada, I expect Canada to be kind of motivated to play well today. And they put up 45 shots and 6 goals, and it's a very physically taxing game. He has to turn around 24 hours later and play to go to the quarterfinals. I don't know. There is no right or wrong answer, but it's an interesting conversation for the coaching staff of Denmark to have.
I'm glad I don't have to make that decision.
That's why they get paid the big bucks.
And we'll have to wait for them to make that decision before we make fantasy decisions, so we don't put Dom in if he doesn't end up playing. Obviously, that's an important one for all of us here on the IIHF fantasy game side. One more game, and that is Reagan's MVP meeting the United States of America. What is Pasta going to do against the U.S.?
He's going to score, obviously.
But I'm trying to remember if I used him 3 times on my fantasy team.
He's only played 2 games.
That's important. That's right. He's only played 2 games. You know what, Mike? I'm losing count of games, how many he's played, how many games we've seen. I think Reagan and I were talking about this yesterday on Spaces. We've watched over 40 games of hockey over the last 10 days. So we're losing count a bit.
Yeah, it's we finished game 46 yesterday. I'm looking on the app right now. Check out the IIHF app. But yes, I think this is going to be a really good matchup, especially with how USA played against Sweden and coming and getting that win. That was a really big win, not only for their, because they've been struggling this tournament, but also because they're tied right now. This head-to-head is actually really important for them. And I think that Czechia's going to come out hard, as they've always been doing, and they play very physical and they know how to score goals. USA is just now getting to that scoring goals piece, and I'm thinking that they're starting to ramp up a bit more, but you never know. It's going to be a good match regardless.
My only question is Pasta still the MVP, or is now Willie Nylander the MVP after his debut?
It's still Pasta.
Okay.
It's good. Pasta.
Good, good, good.
Reagan's preferences have not changed over the past 24 hours. That's what we've learned so far. All right, guys. Well, we've got 2 more days of the round robin today, an important day, a fateful day.
And Marav,
for 4 teams.
Before we wrap up, you mentioned fantasy. Have you guys looked at the standings of our league this morning?
I looked at them yesterday and I saw you're at the top.
Okay, I was just wondering if Reagan has checked in.
Hold on one sec.
To see.
I'm checking.
It's only ice hockey show ranking. So if you want to join up, take a run at Reagan Maravanagh.
And while Reagan is checking, we'll just make sure that everyone remembers that prizes are based on the rounds. So if you are still getting your GM skills in the works like I was, you can play again in the other rounds, still have a chance to win prizes, still have a chance to beat Mike, because it seems Mike is the leader at the moment. So sign up, IIHF. Fantasy, that is fantasy.iihf.com. Join our league. There are still chances to knock Mike off his throne.
Okay. I think I forgot to do my fantasy yesterday, so now I'm upset. What I will say is I didn't expect to have 173 points in this because I was thinking I was going to get a lot of negative points, but here we are, 173. I'm happy with it.
I'm pretty sure you're still ahead of me, so don't worry. Okay. You can forget your fantasy for an entire day and still beat me. That's what we've learned.
Oh, I would hope so. No offense, Marav.
None taken, but I'll remember this next time.
Okay. I'm always sucking.
All right, guys, enjoy your day. We'll be back here tomorrow. We'll be back on Twitter Spaces in the mornings as well. Have a great one.
Enjoy the hockey, everybody.
Bye.